Okay, good morning, good Erev Shabbos. We're continuing with the Maharal here in Parshas Tazria. Amol Chab Given Redden in Yiddish, Aber Da'alem Farsteinish. So we're going to switch to English for Mark and his Chevra. So we have really one thing on the agenda today. It's a couple of Maharal Mekomos, but it's just one topic, one idea. And it's the very, very beginning of Parshas Tazria, almost the first Pasuk. The second Pasuk, the Pasuk tells us,
if a woman should give birth to a male,
so the Isha, who's Yoledes, has a certain tumah, and then the Pesuk can go on to describe the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Now, we're not actually getting into the content of this Pasuk, nor the mitzvahs that are contained therein, but rather we're going to talk about the Smichas Aparshios, which is the topic of the first Rashi on the Parsha, and we're going to get into that in the Maharal. So if you look in the Rashi here, in the Rashi font, Isha ki sazria, Amrab Simlai. Rab Simlai is not a common appearance in the Gemara in general, by the way. Anyone remember any other place where Rab Simlai comments? Huh? Good, very good. So one of his most famous, Maimer maybe, is he's the one who makes the comment that there are 613 mitzvos. I believe, if I'm not mistaken though, I didn't double check, I believe Rab Simlai is also the one who tells us the famous idea that the Uber Bimei Imo learns Kol HaTorah Kula and then forgets on the way out. Anyone able to confirm that? Gemara Nida, I think it's Daf Ayin. You could look it up and check. If that's true, I probably should have checked before saying that. If that's true, it's an interesting point that Rav Simlai is very focused on two things, Kol HaTorah Kula and Ubar's Bimei Imo. Here, too, he comments on the birth of the person from the woman. Am Rav Simlai, Kishem sheyitziraso shel Adam, achar kol behema chayev of maisav reishis. Just as in Maisa Bereishis, in the beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created all the creations of the world, including the animals, Behema Chayeva Oaf, in the Maisa Bereishis, Kach Toiraso Nisparsha Achar Toras Behema Chayeva Oaf. So in Maisa Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created all the animals and the birds, etc., and only then did he create human beings. So too, when it came to the Torah, of people, the Torah of people only comes after the Torah of the animals. What's he talking about, the Torah of people and Torah of animals? Okay, so right at the end of Parshas Shemini, right before this pasuk here in Parshas Tazria, we have the psukim that tell us all about the halachas of treif and kosher, and right, so the halachas of animals comes before this halacha of the birth of a human being, the halachas of Isha ki Zazria, that are the halachas of humans. Now, it's kind of not as parallel as Rashi makes it, or as Reb Simloy made it, meaning there's no Torah of the animals. We're not talking in Parshas Shemini about the Torah the animals have to keep. We're talking about a Torah about animals, and we're talking about the Torah that people have to keep, but it's close enough, meaning it's a Torah regarding animals and a Torah regarding people. So just like in Maisa Bereishis, first comes animals, then comes people, so too, when it comes to the Torah, first comes animals, then comes people. You look in the Gur Aryeh here, the very first one in the Parsha, Maharal, he quotes the Medrash that Rashi's coming from. It just, if you read the Medrash, you see what bothered Rashi, the question that he was bevorning. The Imlokain, if this is not the Drasha, if you don't say this Pshat of Reb Simlai, Lama Maktin Parshas Behem Mechayev Ovel, the Parshas Torah Adam, Ela Kishen. Meaning, why is there a Smichas Parshios? Rather, it's teaching us that there's some parallelism here in terms of, more fundamentally, of the significance of the connection between the animals first and the people afterwards. Fine. In the bold. The Avogab Divgabe Bria Mefarish Begamar Perak Echadini Mamanas. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there's a reason that the person, man, was created last after all of the Brias, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created human beings after all of the animals. There was reasons for that. He's only going to list one right here, but I believe the Gemara has four reasons. Shem Yizgaya Adam, Omrim Lo Afilu Yitush Kadmecha. So if someone decides, oh, I'm a hotshot, I'm a big deal, a person decides that he's going to have gaiva, he's going to be arrogant, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, that's very nice that you're so hot in yourself, but even in a mosquito, afilu yatush, even a mosquito was created before you. You're nothing. You're the last of the Bria. Now, obviously, we also know that the Bria, you know, culminates with man, meaning we're the spitz of the Bria, too. We're the pinnacle of the Bria. But in one sense, you're the last in the Maisa Bereishis after everything else. You're like the afterthought, almost, right? It's a way to knock a guy down. There are other answers as well in the Gemara. One is that man should enter into the world, and I think su'udaso mucheneslo, that he entered into the world and everything was ready for him. He didn't have to come into the world, then have animals, then have trees, then have... Everything was there already when he landed on this world, so everything was ready for him. Another idea, I just can't remember the fourth right now, but another idea is that Adam was created right on Erev Shabbos, the last day of creation, so that he should enter into the world and right away enter into mitzvos of Shabbos. So there are a few reasons why man was created last out of all the creations, after all the animals. But Odi Yishtayim Machirim, that's what he's referencing over there. But the Maharal says the obvious question, which we really need to think about when we learn Rashi, is V'im Kein Kasha, Kivin Osan Taimim Lo Shayachim. I don't understand. It's true that when it was Ma'aseh Bereishis, you had to create man last so that man should enter into Shabbos, that man should have not have gaiva, he should be humbled, so that man should, I don't know, have his world created for him and not have to toil to make animals or wait for animals. I hear that. What does that have to do with giving him halachos of tum and tara after the halachos of kashrus? You don't give him the halachos of tum and tara in order that you should enter into a mitzvah after the animal. There's no relationship between the two reasons. So the fact that man was created last in Ma'aseh Bereishis has reasons. Those reasons don't apply to our parsha. So how is Rashi or Reb Simlai really originally, how is he applying the idea that the person was created last out of all of Ma'aseh Bereishis to this idea of the Torah Sa'adam coming after the Torah Behemah? You hear the question? There's no relevance between one and the other. So how could you compare the two things? So the Maharal says something nifladik, really, really amazing here, really, really deep, and we're going to try to give some other examples of where he says this and other applications of this idea as well. V'yesh lomar in the bold, right in the middle. This is halfway the fella. Degam torasan eich yehu misnagim hu davar dom lebria kimosha bria hu tikunam hachinami torasam hi tikun havayasam. Says the Maharal like this: Bereishis bara Elokim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu created the world at the beginning of time. That was a creation. That was the creation of all of trees and animals and plants and people and shop. Everything was created in Ma'aseh Bereishis, correct? There was another stage in creation, though. The world wasn't actually fully complete at the time of creation. It wasn't until the Matan Torah happened. It wasn't until Kabbalah Satorah came into this world. It wasn't until the Torah was given to this world that the Ma'aseh Bereishis was completed. The Ein HaTorah Ela Gemar Tikunam. The giving of the Torah, the keeping of the Torah, the existence of the Torah is the Gemar HaTikun. It's the Makeh B'Patish. It's the final nail being hammered into the product of creation. The world was created step one in Ma'aseh Bereishis, but the final act of creation took place only when the Torah was given. The Torah was a Hashlama. It was a completion of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and so in that sense, it's not two separate things. You're not comparing apples and oranges. The same way that in Ma'aseh Bereishis, the first step of creation, man had to come last after everything else, so too in the Torah. When the Torah created the world, when the Torah finished the creation of the world, first came animals, then came man, because it's just a hashlama, it's just a continuation and a completion of the process of creation that started so many years ago. And he says it's such an amazing idea here. Ubishvil kach amr, we know this from Rashi al Torah, it's a Gemara in Shabbos and Peches. The Gemara tells us that the narrative about the creation of the world includes the Yom Hashishi. It's not the day six, it's the day six with a hey idea, Yom Hashishi. So here Rashi tells us from the Gemara that they were being taught over here that it's the ultimate day. Why is it the ultimate day? Because if you decide you're going to keep because the Matan Torah was given on the Shabbos. If you decide you're going to keep the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep the world going. If you decide you're going to reject the Torah, then the world will return to tohu vavohu. The world will return to nothingness. Im yikabel Yisrael haTorah mutav, v'im lav yachzeru l'tohu vavohu. The world will cease to exist if you don't keep the Torah. The world will cease to exist if we don't keep the Torah. We're familiar with this concept, right? That if we don't learn Torah, if we don't accept the Torah, the world would have gone away. And then Reb Chaim Volozhiner made famous that even if we don't continue to learn Torah, the world will go back to tohu vavohu, which is why it's just one of the reasons, I think, Alpi Kabbalah, that there are like all these time zones that exist in the world, so that there's always daytime, there's always people learning at different points of the day. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner took it on himself that his yeshiva should be Mekayim the world itself. So he had a schedule in the yeshiva of Volozhin that there had to be people learning every single hour of the day. So the people who learned at night had to sleep during the day. People who learned during the day had to sleep at night. But there was always someone up in Volozhin and learning. In our house, we have the same minhag, but not with learning. There's always someone up in our house at every point of the night, but it's not always with learning. But so Reb Chaim Volozhin took it on himself. What happens Matzah Yom Kippur when everyone runs to the Chadar Ochel to eat? So then Reb Chaim himself would learn. Then he would run to the base medrash. He would learn to make sure the world didn't fall apart on Volozhin's account at that point. But this concept of im yikabel Yisrael Torah mutav im lav yachzeru l'tohu vavohu, it exists throughout creation. That from the time of creation until the time of Matan Torah and throughout history, if we don't keep up our commitment to Torah and Talmud Torah, the world will cease to exist. V'zehu mipnei she'in gmar b'riyasan rak al-yidei Torah she'hit misakin ha'olam. Why is that, says the Maharal? Why is it that the world can't exist without Torah? You know what the answer is? Because the world doesn't exist without Torah. The world was only partially created until the Torah was brought. Once the Torah was brought into existence, now existence actually fully is complete. Now, if you take away Torah, existence ceases to be in existence because it can't exist without Torah. Torah is the hashlama. It's the completion of creation, and therefore you need the Torah in order for creation to sustain itself. Otherwise, it will go back to tohu vavohu. So that's the idea the Maharal says for us over here. In terms of our parsha, that's why the Torah Sa'adam has to come after the Torah Sa'behema, like Maisa Bereishis. What does Torah have to do with Maisa Bereishis? Answer, Torah is Maisa Bereishis. Maisa Bereishis is only part of the job, the physical creation, but the Gemar, the full Makab Patish, the full last nail being hammered in, that only exists by Matan Torah, by Kabbalah Torah, and by Kima Torah. So Torah Sa'behema has to precede Torah Sa'adam the same way that the Bereishis of the Behema precedes the Bereishis of the Adam. You see this idea in so many places in the Maharal, just a few of them, and it deepens the idea and also maybe widens it as well. If you look in the next source, in the Maharal's commentary in Derech Chaim on Pirkei Avos, in the first parak, so the Mishnah tells us that the Olam is omed on three things. Torah, Avod, and Gmilas Chasadim. So we're not going to talk about all three, but in terms of Torah, the Maharal expounds on this idea here as well. Why does the world exist on a pillar of Torah? Why does it need Torah to exist? Ki kasher yesh ba'adam ha-Torah, people first, and then existence. Ki kasher yesh ba'adam ha-Torah, hu nechshav bria tova ba'atmo, kasher yesh ba'atorah sichlis. Only when a person has Torah is he considered a complete, good, full human being. Avalim ein bo Torah, if a person does not connect to Torah, does not have Torah to him, ein ha-adam ba'atmo nechshav tov. He's not considered good. Maral means by good, by the way. Tov, it doesn't only mean good in terms of like interactions. Tov in Maral means existence. Things that are not inherently tov can't exist. This is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is kulo metiv. He only creates things that are good. So unless something has inherent goodness to it, it can't exist. So when he says tov over here, he means it's not a real existence. Ra, according to the Maral, evil, is just the absence of tov. It's when tov is removed, ra seeps in. But there's no creation of ra. So man only exists in as much as it's connected to Torah. HaTorah hi hashlama sa'adam b'meshu adam. Exactly what we said. If not, v'hu, if he doesn't have Torah, nimshal kebehema nidme. He's like an animal. He's like an animal. Meaning animal was the second last step of creation. And then, with a person becomes the ability that he's going to connect to Torah. Only then is he going to be completed. Without the Torah, man is not complete. And says the Maharal, that's true about the world entirely. In the next paragraph, ki shleimus ha'olam hu b'shvil ha'Torah. Like we said before, ki moshe remez gam kein b'kra yom ha'shishi, like we mentioned. The world is lacking without Torah, and therefore, unless you have Torah, the world's not complete, and only if you have Torah will it stay complete, and if you lose the Torah, yachzer l'tohu vavohu, the same idea that we spelled out in the Gur Aryeh. Based on this, the Maharal says something really, really fascinating. So one of the ways that he expresses that man without Torah is incomplete is that he says, nimshal kebehemos nidmu. I mean, he says it in the singular, but he means like the pasuk, nimshal kebehemos nidmu, that we end up being like animals. So he says a gevaldik pshat in the Agadah. If you look in the indented part here in the bottom, page number 1, going on to page number 2, in the 15th parak of Nesiv HaTorah. So there, he quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim tells us on Memtes a whole bunch of Divrei Agada about Anama Aretz. So what is Anama Aretz is a question for another time. Maharal talks about it in this parak as well. It's a long parak. The 15th parak in Nesiv HaTorah is very long. But Anama Aretz, suffice to say, he doesn't mean me. Not in the Gaiva way, meaning I am an Am Aretz the way we colloquially say it. If we don't know Torah, we're an Am Aretz. That's the way we throw it around, right? You and I feel like Am Aretzim because we don't know so much Torah, correct? That's not what the Gemara means. The Gemara means something much more intense. You look in the Gemara, you'll see what it means. It means something much more intense. Someone who hates Talmid Chacham, someone who's anti-Torah. It means something much more cynical and much more destructive, which is why the Gemara even has a comment like you can tear open an Am Aretz. Talmid Chacham, stay away from Yom Kippur. An Am Aretz, Yom Kippur, you could tear him open like a fish, kill him on Yom Kippur. It would be a mitzvah to kill him on Yom Kippur, even though it's a violation of Yom Kippur and Ritzicha. But it's still worthwhile because Am Aretz is so bad. Derech Agav, we mentioned the Volozhin Yeshiva before. One of the accounts for why Reb Chaim Volozhin started Yeshiva Volozhin, there are different accounts for this in letters which corroborate one, not the other, but one of the accounts told over Mipi HaShmua is that Reb Chaim Volozhin said his intent in starting the Yeshiva Volozhin was because there's the Gemara in a Pesachim about the Am Aretz, so you can kill him Yom Kippur. He says a person could learn all the Gemaras and Shas on his own, but you get to a Gemara like this, you can't understand without a Rebbe. You can't understand what that means without a Rebbe. So you need a Yeshiva context to understand things like this. But anyways, Am Aretz is much, much more severe than what we're talking about usually. So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. It's not quoted lahalacha anywhere. This is a Agadata. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, I don't know if it's Rabbi, I think it was someone else. Am Aretz asur lechol basar. An Am Aretz has to be a vegetarian. Now, just to clarify, a vegetarian doesn't have to be an Am Aretz, right? It doesn't cut both ways. But how does the Joey Newcomb song go? You don't have to be an Amar. It's Amar. It's to be a vegetarian, but you got to be a vegetarian to be an Amar. So you don't go in the parallel. But the klal is that an Amar is not allowed to eat meat. Whoa, an Amar is not allowed to eat meat. So what's the pshat in that? So the Maharal never accepts that it's just a weird thing the Gemara said. There's always depth to it. So it says the Maharal like this, second line in the bold. Pirish, ki achilas habasar hu she'osas habasar ad she'eino nimtza. What happens when you eat meat? You take a piece of flesh, an animal that used to exist, you put it into your body, and then the animal no longer exists. So on a higher level, what a person's expressing when they consume an animal, when they eat meat, is they're expressing that I am Spitz, Adam, I am at a high level, and a behemoth is beneath me, a behemoth is below me. So it's not inappropriate, in fact, it's consistent for me to go ahead and take my madregas ha-seichel, my intellect and my ruchnius and my kedusha, consume an animal and make it disappear, because I'm the spitz of existence. I'm the top, I'm the pinnacle, and the animal is beneath me. So eating the animal, there's nothing wrong with that, and even makes sense that he should be subsumed within me, since he's part of existence and I am higher than him on the chain. But says the Maharal, and I'm Aretz, who doesn't have Torah, how do we describe him? Nimshol kebehemos nidmu. He's like a behema. And Amar doesn't connect to Torah, doesn't have Torah within him. He's not a Spitz Adam. He's not a Baal Seichel. He's not a Baal Torah. He's another animal. So this animal can't eat that animal. He can't consume the animal just because he's hungry. He doesn't have the higher level of Das, and therefore he can't consume an animal. So a Talmud Chacham can eat meat. And it's a chash of a thing to be involved in a Suda with a Talmud Chacham. A Talmud Chacham can eat meat, but Amar is just another behema. So he's not allowed to express that consuming of meat, because it's the wrong messaging. It doesn't make sense that he should be able to make the animal, to take the animal out of existence, because he doesn't have Torah, he's not a complete person himself. They don't have averus and mitzvahs, meaning they're not doing it with das, meaning the Gemara couldn't say to a lion, don't eat a cat, right? I mean, couldn't command them in that. In terms of bria, you're correct, there's a chain. In terms of the bria also, one's higher than the other. The Maharal here, we're not going to get into it, but he explains that, you know, Adam Arishan was not allowed to eat meat, and Noach was allowed to eat meat. Adam was the biggest, you know, Baal Machshava, but he didn't have any connection to Torah in a ruchnistic way until later. Noach became the Isha Adama, someone who was above just the ground, just the materialism, and therefore the meat became mutter to him. We'll leave that for another time. Okay, in the next source on page number 2, the Maharal tells us that this is a very important yisod, this idea, and it teaches us something that is a musar shmuz, that gives us something going forward. It's in the second parak of Avos and Derech Chaim, ki ha'adam nivra la'amel. A person was created, adam la'amel yulad. A person was created in order to toil, in order to work hard. Lo yeh ba'al hanacha klal. A person can't just sit back and relax. Why? Because rak yotzi shleimuso ala pa'al tamid. If we were created complete, then we could put our legs up, we could sit back and relax. If we felt like our job was done, we wouldn't have a job in this world to do. But that's not true. That's not true. A person is created incomplete. The completion is through the Torah. Adam la'amal yumad, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Adam la'amal yulad is the amal of Torah, that a person is born in order to toil in Torah. Fine. But without that, you're not complete. So there's nothing to rest. You can't sit back. There's nothing to rest about, because you're not yet complete until you connect to the Torah. Again, the same idea that Bereshis wasn't complete without the Torah, and man is not man without connecting to the Torah. Otherwise, the Am Aretz is like a behema. That's why he can't eat meat. That's why he's Nimshal Gebehemos Nidmu. And he says a fascinating diak, if you look in the underline here, Vizem Mashalo Ne'mar Ba'adam Kitov, Yoser Mikolan Emsaim. Yoser doesn't mean Yoser the way we say it. Colloquially, it's a Maharal speak over here. But what he means is that by all the days of creation, it says that Hashem saw Kitov. He saw that there was goodness in creation. By man, it doesn't say that. It says, Vayar Hashem Elokim es kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. Did I get it right? Something like that? So it's not talking about man. It's talking about all of creation. Hashem looked back. Did I get it basically right? Close enough. Vayar Hashem Elokim, is there Elokim in there even? I don't remember. Vayar Hashem Elokim, I think, as kol asher asa vihine tov ma'od. He saw everything that was created and said it was tov ma'od. Never says about man itself. Says the Maharal, because man himself inherently is not tov yet. He's created chaser, he's created with a lacking. He has to become tov over the course of his life by learning Torah, by performing mitzvos. That's how he becomes tov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't say about him that he's tov initially until he actually gets involved in learning and gets connected to Torah later on. If you look in the next source, in the Siva Torah, in Perek Tesvav, the same parak from before, but I think it's earlier on in that parak. So here again, he stresses this point, that a person was created with the potentiality for good, but not with the built-in completion of goodness. Ki adam hu bekoach. A person is he's a potentiality. He has a ability to use his force for good, but he's not necessarily created with the hashlam in the beginning. He's created in order to use Torah and mitzvos to become greater. That's where the name Adam comes from. Al shem Adama. So we think of Adama as negative, that is the ground. But there's a positive nature too. I think in the past we spoke about Adama being the same word as Adameh, that Adamele Elyon. I will bring myself to come higher. But here, I imagine myself being greater. Here, Adama is related to the ground. Al-Shem Adama. Ki Adama hi bekoach v'yatza el apoel. Ground is just ground. Ground lays fallow if it's not rained on, if there aren't seeds planted in it, if the weather isn't correct. Ground is nothing. But we plant seeds, we water it, we have sunlight, and then something sprouts. So too man. Man is like Adama. That's why he's called Adam. Because he has a lot of potentiality. He's a good, you know, fertile ground. But you still have to plant the seeds, and you still have to grow those seeds into plants, into trees, into fruit. So the Torah and the mitzvot are the fruit. But that's the pinnacle of existence. Only once we connect to Torah do we express our potentiality. Until then, we're just potential. He says a beautiful idea here. It's just like unbelievable. It's endless. Once you get into an idea, it just connects to everything in the Ma'aral. But here it says a beautiful idea. It says that's why when it comes to the Egla Rufa, we take the Egla Rufa and we take it to a Nachal Asher Lo Nizra Velo Nevad. We take him to an area which is a ground which is fallow, which is not planted, no seeds, no growth, nothing there. And that's where we do the sacrifice of the Egla Rufa. So why Dafka there? So the Maral says, because it's representative of what happened. A person's life was cut short. A person whose life is cut short is like a fallow ground. He didn't get a chance to express his potentiality. He didn't get a chance to grow the beautiful trees that he was supposed to grow over the course of his life. So if we found a person dead, unjustly, on the street, we take this Egla Rufa to a place which is deserted, which is has no growth, as a symbolism of the fact that that's what this person became also. He was someone who didn't get to live up to his potential because his life was cut short. It's a beautiful idea of the Maral as well. Okay, that's the Maharal in a nutshell in terms of the idea that Bereshis is not complete until Matan Torah. Therefore, people are also not complete until they have the Torah. That's why Adam comes after Behema in Bereshis, and Adam comes after Behema in the Torah of Halachos as well. That's why an Am Haaretz can't eat meat, because he's not higher than animal. He is an animal. That's why it doesn't say Tov by the Bria of a person, because he's not inherently good until he creates himself and finds himself through Torah. That's why a man is called Adama, because he's only a potentiality, but he has to sprout by connecting to the Torah as well. My wife had a Gevalda Gatsushtel over here, Kedarka, so the last source on the page, she pointed out that this really does relate, and really this makes it even more fundamental and really gives us a chizuk more than a musar. This famous, my wife and I have heard it many times from Rav Tursky, our Rebbe Shlita, so maybe that's why it's famous to us, but it's an important maral nonetheless. It's in a few different places. I put it for you in the place where I found it most clearly. In Tiferes Yisrael, in the fifth parak, he quotes the famous thing that we say at the end of learning, but we say it at the end of the parak Yavos. Hold your kaddish. So we ask on this, says the Maharal, Yesh Lishol, in the underline, the Maharal says, it's not a good idea. Hashem wanted to give us zechuyos, merits, so what do? He gave us a lot of mitzvos. I don't understand. So Rotorsky always gives it with a mashal. He says, I don't understand. You have a class in a school, and the teacher says, you guys have been so great. You guys are behaving so well. Morris, it's probably never happened to you. But you guys have been behaving so well. And you know what? You deserve a reward. As a reward, I'm going to give you guys extra homework. That makes sense? That make any sense? Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zakos Yisrael. He wanted to give us a gift. Therefore, here Bilhem Torah Mitzvahs. He gave us more assignments, which we, by the way, can easily fail with our Yitzhahara. What's the point of here Bilhem Torah Mitzvahs in terms of giving us Zechuyos? Good question. So Maharal says, and again, he doesn't say the mashal, but my Rebbe says it with a mashal. He says it with a different mashal, the answer. So it's not similar to the teacher case. It's similar to the following case. Let's say a painter comes over to your house. You want to paint the walls. So the painter comes over, but he has no tools. So you say, it's okay. Meaning part of my job is as the balabas, I have to provide the equipment. So what do you need? He needs a paintbrush. He needs paint. He needs the thing that they put over the paint. Whatever. He needs what's the thing you put on the floor? A tarp. He needs all these different things to do his job. So you go to Home Depot, and you buy him all of the tools to do the job, and you give them to him. So what happened was, initially when he came to your house, he wasn't a painter. He was just a stam guy. He was just your neighbor. Now you bought him all the tools, and what is he? He's become a painter. Now he has the ability to do the job that he's been hired to do. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give you Torah and mitzvot as a zchus. I understand you might fail sometimes. It's understandable that there are going to be pitfalls, and there's going to be punishment for that. We get paid back for the averos that we do. But the etzem fact, the very fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and mitzvot is already a zechus. Because without Torah and mitzvot, we are, as my Rebbe says, a spiritual midgets. We're not complete. We're incomplete. We're spiritual. We're amputated. We're spiritually amputated. We're missing limbs. The mitzvos are our limbs. They give us our chiyus. They give us our definition. A person is muchan. He's prepared to do great things only if he's given the tools to do those great things. The Torah and the mitzvos are the painting tools. They're the paintbrush. They're the paint. They're the tarp. They're the things that give us the ability, the ladder, that give us the ability to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become great. We are muchan lekach. We are given the ability to do so, and therefore we are be'etzem that. We are inherently good. We are inherently holy. We are inherently kadosh because we have the ability, the kochos, and the tools to do the mitzvos. Here you look inside. The Maharal says, we spoke of this in the past, that a person is kol Yisrael yeshlam chelek olam haba. Inherently, we have a place in olam haba. That's why. We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. But our status quo, the direction we're heading in, is olam haba, which is why even a katan who passes away before he does Torah mitzvos goes to olam haba. The reason is because be'etzem a Jew is ra'i for olam haba. Be'etzem a Jew is holy. Be'etzem a Jew is kadosh because he has Torah and mitzvos embedded in his DNA. Because he's given the tools of Torah and mitzvos, he's complete through the command of Torah and mitzvos. So what I wanted to point out over here in terms of being fundamentally, you know, a chizuk, is that it's true the Maharal is telling us we have to work on ourselves and we have to be adama, which sprouts fruit, and we have to connect to Torah and mitzvos, learn Torah and do mitzvos in order to realize our potential. But it's also true that the very potential that we have already gives us a great maila, already gives us a great stature as B'nai Adam, as Jews above and beyond, that we have the tools to do this. It's not just that we have to connect and create our potentiality. The very potentiality itself makes us more holy, makes us more kadosh, makes us more fitting for an olam haba, makes us more fitting for schar ultimately. And so the riboy, Torah mitzvos, is a zchus to us that builds our character and defines our nature. Okay, so we should all connect to our nature and perform Torah mitzvos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.